Hi, this is Per Bristow, and you are about to hear a replay of the webinar with and for the members of the Singing Zone. Enjoy.
Okay, everybody, welcome. So we are here for we call it a virtual coaching class. We could call it a webinar, of course, but I think it's good that we think of it as a class, meaning it's a workshop, it is not a showcase. And I want to say that because the tendency when we have showcases is that we try to show our best sides. But in a class, the great thing is that we're all in one boat. We are here to learn. We are here to explore and discover. And the beauty of a class is that it's not about being right or wrong or being good or bad. It is about that discovery. And it frankly is about also being given permission to be vulnerable, right? And even for you who just started the program, you know, even in lesson one, I talk about that awareness. I talk about the compensatory tension that tends to happen, right? And we compensate a lot in life. And of course, we do it because of weaknesses. And it is really beautiful to become aware of our weaknesses, to be allowed to be vulnerable. And that goes for the physical stuff too, right? So when I coach someone in private, even if someone is a great singer, if we do stuff and then suddenly, wow, I can't get the sound out, or suddenly the voice starts cracking, well, then we discover something. Aha! Often it is because we have been using a lot of compensatory stuff to create the sound. So vulnerable is good. So I want to just set that up so that we're not here to judge people. And I have gotten tons of submissions now. A lot of people have sent in songs. So frankly, I'm going to start off by apologizing because there's no way I'm going to be able to play more than just a fraction of all the submissions. But I hope you feel that's okay. And even if I won't play your song, then I'm sure you're going to discover that the stuff we talk about applies to you too. And we're going to hear a lot of different kinds of music, different voices, different styles, and of course different recordings also, because some people have access to great recording equipment and some people don't. So some people have just sung completely a cappella into whatever mic they could find, and some people have more polished productions. So it's totally different. Then again, as different as we would like to think we are, we're all the same, kind of, aren't we? So I hope it's going to be fun. And the dilemma for me now, of course, is am I going to rush through a lot of songs and just comment briefly, or are we going to get into more depth? I think we're going to have to go with the flow, and I have to try to find a middle ground. The idea is that we're going to go for about 90 minutes. I suspect we're going to go longer than that. But we'll see. We'll try to get into stuff. And I've listened to some songs now, and I've picked a couple that will address different issues, different common issues. So hopefully it's going to be fun and a good learning experience. So how this is going to work now, most of you are on the webcast. You're listening on your computer, which is a good idea because you probably get a lot better sound that way than you do on the phone. However, if I call your name, which I will, then I would like you to have a phone next to you, and you call in. Don't close the webcast, you're logged into the Singing Zone to get to the webcast. So as you see on the Singing Zone there, on that page, there are three different phone numbers. You can just choose one of them. Choose one of them, and then it will prompt you to enter the ID there. You just go ahead and do that. So then you get online, and I'll see here on my computer screen when you're online. So then we can engage in conversation about your specific song. As a matter of fact, I can right now tell you the first couple that I've... We're going to start off with Ruth, and then we're going to go to Wendy with Love Letters, and then we're going to go to Ernest, and then Dino. And then, we'll see what happens. We'll go with the flow a little bit. But and if I called your name now and you feel nervous about me calling your name, good. Nervous is normal. I felt nervous before this webcast. I feel nervous. Of course, my nervousness comes a little bit from the technical aspect, and also because 3 minutes before I was starting, the computer screen or my computer totally crashed. So isn't that interesting? If that happens during this, hopefully it isn't going to affect my phone line, but I'll lose out and you won't hear the music. But if that happens, you know, that is life of live performance. That is also part of the giving permission kind of stuff that we're talking about. You deal with it and move on, and there you go. Okay, so have we set the stage now? Anything I've forgotten to tell you? Hope not for you who just started, came on board here, which I see some of you did. You'll catch up. I think we'll just get going. We'll start with, so Ruth, as a matter of fact, if you are there now, call one of those numbers, and then I'll see if you're online. And while you do that, I am going to play your song. So Ruth is an example now. She just sang something completely a cappella, no background tracks whatsoever. And so we don't set expectations high for people. It is what it is. It's about the voice. But we'll discuss some aspects of the voice here. Okay, so Ruth, if you're there, then call in, and I'll see that. And then as a matter of fact, after you have called in, enter *2. So the symbol, the star symbol, and then the number 2. Okay, because that will raise your hand, and then I'll see that. And I think you're on here already. Okay, cool. But before I go to you, Ruth, well, as a matter of fact, let's do this now, because I want to also check that this is working. So I'm going to unmute you now, Ruth, so we'll check that we have connection. Ruth, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning or good evening for me.
Good. So that, well, yeah, exactly. Morning for you. But you're in the UK, right?
Yeah, that's right. So it's 6 p.m. right now.
Okay, terrific. Okay, good. So now we know it's working. You heard my voice. I hear your voice.
Mm-hmm.
So were you on the webcast first?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, just that I know it's working. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the song that you sent?
Great, yeah. So it's a jazz song. It's sung by Madeleine Perroux, which she sings absolutely beautifully in the style of Billie Holiday. I don't want to mimic her style, but I'd love to be able to sing the song well. And my goal really is to sing at an open mic night in public. So I have to get lots of confidence up and get the song really good before I can do that.
Okay. So you haven't been performing a whole lot?
No, only as a child and not as an adult.
Okay. Well, it's about time.
It is.
Okay, well, let's play it now, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. So, what's it called? Don't Wait Too Long, right?
That's right.
Okay, here we go.
You can cry a million tears. You can wait a million years. If you think the time will change your ways, don't wait too long. When your morning turns to night, who'll be loving you by candlelight? If you think the time will change your ways, don't wait too long. Maybe I've got a lot to learn. Time can slip away. Sometimes you gotta lose it all before you find your way. Take a chance and play your part. Make romance, it might break your heart. But if you think the time will change your ways, don't wait too long.
All right. How does it feel hearing yourself over the phone?
Not as bad as I thought, actually, so that's good. I thought it would be awful, but it was much more awful in my imagination than it was in reality, which is good news.
Oh, well, yeah, it is. It's always uncomfortable hearing ourselves. Many actors never want to watch themselves, and sometimes it's a good idea because we tend to sometimes get self-conscious. But we want to watch and listen to learn. So what do you experience when you sing, when you're practicing? What's your range like?
I get very uncomfortable in higher notes because as a child I was told that you're an alto, you need to stay in that range, and I always did, and so I always pick songs that are around that range. But having done some of your exercises, I can find richness in higher ranges, but it's always at the back of my mind, these high notes are going to be difficult for you, you're going to miss them, they're going to sound, you know, thin and reedy, and it's not going to be good. But when I do let go, it actually works out fine, or doesn't work out fine, but generally works out fine.
Right. Okay, so what we want to talk about a little bit is actually to go back a little bit with the function of the vocal cords. So when you're singing now, you have a little bit of a breathy tendency.
Mm-hmm.
It's a breathy sound. And that can be extremely cool, nice, if it's an artistic choice. We just want to make sure that it's not a habit and that's the only thing you can do.
Mm.
And that's, in the first, the very first lesson, and for you who just started, you've been doing this, experimenting between breathy connected, so that we discover what the muscles are doing, which muscles are doing what. There's obviously not just breathy or connected. There's anything in between. There's more or less of everything, right? Can you just say, ah?
Ah.
Good. Now say that super breathy.
Ah.
Okay. And now say, ah, more connected.
Ah.
Okay. Can you sing the first line even breathier than you did?
I could if I could remember the first line of the song. I'm really sorry, that's very rubbish. But I could sing another line of the song, so...
Yeah,
whatever,
just pick one, I'll make something up.
Can I do it more breathy? If you think that time will change your ways...
Yeah, let's use that now. Okay, now sing that more connected.
If you think that time will change your ways, don't wait too long.
Good. Ah.
Ah.
If you wait.
If you think.
Yeah.
Whatever.
We're not talking about the lyrics right now.
No, exactly.
Yes. Good. So, for a showcase song, if this was a showcase, you wouldn't pick this song. Do you know why?
Why?
Because it's very within a very limited range.
Mm.
So if you are going to sing a song like that that repeats itself, that's very limited in range, you need to work to use the dynamics. Because, so if you sing every verse the same and it has the same quality, in this case, the same sort of little breathiness that goes straight through, then you won't have the effect on the audience as you would like to have.
Okay.
Because it sort of repeats itself, right?
Mm.
Now, ideally, we want that to come out of the lyrics and what it's all about and the people in the room. But from a technical standpoint, what you want to do is really to give yourself permission to sing it differently. Sing it more connected. Sing it louder when you practice. Sing it softer. So you get a feel for the variations.
Mm-hmm.
And then the question is also you want to ask yourself is, do you pick this song because it is in that comfort zone of your range?
Yeah, I did. Definitely.
Yeah.
100%.
Right. So that's not an artistic choice, right?
No, not at all.
No. So that's a choice based on my limitations. So since you're going to become this expressive singer on stage where people go, wow, this is so amazing, wow, you want to break out of that because you have a much bigger range than the song is.
Mm.
Just do that.
Oh.
Good. So even that is a little bit on the breathy side. It's a little bit weak, right? And then you can't express as much as you will be able to do when you develop more strength.
Mm-hmm.
Say loud ones. Ah.
Ah.
There you go. Good. For everybody who hasn't sung much, I'm not used to the idea of letting it out in a big way. I mean, that goes against sort of, we don't do that in our social life. Yes? What? But that's why it's so important. That's why it's so helpful for you to do that. Allow yourself to be louder, bigger, bolder, so you get a feel for it. Move around the stuff that we're doing that. And then you can be able to sing more connected with more intensity. You don't have to be loud, and you're going to see later on when we talk about the flip side of this. But is this making sense for you?
It is. It is. It's very good feedback and very useful to think about practicing in different styles with each song, because that gives me a lot more freedom, as you said, to make the choice. If I want to sound a certain way, I've made that choice. I haven't just done it because it's the only one I can bear to do confidently. So it's
exactly.
Good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Sing the same song in different keys, things like that. Mm-hmm. So if it was a showcase, if we were to be judges, you know, or the audience, then it would come across as not so exciting. It becomes less exciting as the longer the song goes, right? Because it's the same. It's a limited range, and it sounds a little bit breathy. So then it sounds a little bit weak rather than breathy because of, yeah, it's the presence. Hey, I'm singing breathy because I want to be close and intimate. And the breathiness can be very effective. You get close to the mic and you sing a breathy as an effect.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
Yeah, it makes complete sense.
Terrific. Fabulous. Okay, so thanks for that. And so then we're going to go move on to, let's see, Wendy, Love Letters. So I'm going to play your song, Wendy, and if you are on, then you do the same thing. Call up. And then you press star 2 when you're on, and do that while we're playing your song here. So here we go, Love Letters.
Keep us so near when
And that was everybody on this webcast applauding. Okay, so Wendy, I don't think Wendy is on the line. I think she's also in the UK. Wendy, if you are there, then call one of those numbers that are on the screen, and then so you call in and we can talk a little bit. But if you're not there, I'll just talk a little bit. Based on what Wendy wrote, and that was that she was playing the piano, and she doesn't often play the piano at the same time when she's singing. So that brings up a good thing to talk about when it comes to playing another instrument. But even if you don't play another instrument, as far as the rhythm, it is such great practice to practice keeping the pulse. And you know, a lot of those rhythm things that I have in the rhythm training section is about the pulse. The pulse before we do fancy rhythms, because we can't do fancy rhythms if we don't feel the pulse within. And the pulse is what's steady, right? The fancy rhythm is the stuff that the variations depending on that steady rhythm, the steady pulse rather. So in a song like this, Love Letters, it has a three. It's a 1, 2, 3. It really is like a 6-8. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? Or we could call it like it's triplets, but very slow, or a waltz feel too. But it's probably more like a 6-8. 6-8. Try to say that fast. So what we want to do then is, if she plays the piano, let's see if you can hear this. I got a headset on now, so I got a piano here. You might be able to pick something up. So if I play the piano, I'm not going to play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? That would be a little bit obnoxious. It wouldn't be this right for the. It wouldn't be right for the song. So I may just play the chord 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 1, 2, 3, 4. Just lay those chords down, and. But we need to feel those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now the thing is, what do we do with our vocals? Because with our vocals, we may not want to stick to that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Because in a song like this, we want to be able to drag. We want to be able to express. We want to be able to be sort of off the pulse, off those 6-8 notes, right? And how do we do that? Well, that becomes a little bit tricky, but that's part of the practice. So even if you don't play the piano, you could, in this case it's a 6-8, but you know, most songs are 4. But let's use this as an example. So if I snap like this, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then the question is, well, if I'm going to sing, if I'm going to just sing, ah, or ba, 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 ba. As a matter of fact, let me pull up the lyrics here so I have them in front of me. I will use this as an example. Here, I got them. So the words are love letters straight from your heart. So if I were to sing, love letters straight from your heart, love letters, then I'm exactly on the beat, right? And I may or may not want that, because I want to be able to not have to do it. Oops. All right, am I still on? I want to not have to do it. I want to be able to drag and be off. So it could be like, love letters. Or if I do love letters straight from the heart, and then I drag it, yeah, keep us so near, and we drag it, or we stay behind. And a lot of those jazz songs, the old standards, you want to be able to do that. So with everything that you do, with anything that you do, try to try to practice that. So let's do a four. If I do 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1, 2, 3, 4, we just make up some words. We say, today is a beautiful day, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, today is a beautiful day. Oh, yeah. Today is a beautiful day. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, and I'm still on the beat. I still feel where the next one is. Today is a beautiful day. Oh, yeah. And one, and then the one is there again. I still know where the one is. Does that make sense? We hope so. So that's what I would say to you, Wendy, here, to be able to be freer. And that freedom, apart from what you're playing with the piano. And then, of course, that then comes down to how it comes out. Comes out of the song, the artistic expression. So this song, Love Letter Straight From Your Heart, keep us so near while apart. I'm not alone in the night when I can have all the love you write. I memorize every line and I kiss the name that you sign. And darling, then I read again right from the start, Love Letter Straight From Your Heart. So that then you, this is a reflective kind of song. This is not an out there to the audience, let everybody sing along kind of song. It's and the person that you're singing to is not in the room, right? So you reflect on that, the beauty of having these wonderful letters, and you can just look at them again, and you feel that love. And that's what we want to come across. We want that to come across when you sing it. So the tendency in a song like this a little bit, because the last line or the last word of the line tends to be the higher note and the longer note. So the tendency is perhaps that we sing it, love letters straight from your heart. And we do so much with the last word. But that's not necessarily how it needs to be. It could be short also. Love letter straight from your heart. It could be short. We don't know. There's no right or wrong in a song like this. This is not about how it exactly was written. It's making the song your own. These are your love letters. And frankly, you're singing it for the very first time. Because you're reflecting on it as you go along. You haven't planned what you're about to say. The next verse is, I memorize every line, and I kiss the name that you sign. Then it repeats it exactly, because that's what you do. Yes, okay. So two things, practice rhythm, play around with the rhythm. For you who are in month two, use those improvisation tracks and play around with it. And then you get used to feeling where the next one is or where the next chord progression starts. That's why the chord progression goes over and over. So you know where it comes in. It becomes organic, and you automatically feel the pulse within. But you do want to be able to snap the pulse or just tap it, or in this case, if you play the piano or play the guitar. Okay, so Ernest, if you're there, which I'm not sure that you will be, because I know you're far away, in Zagreb, I think. But if you're there, then call up. If you're not, we'll talk about your song. So we're going to play. Now this is very different. And I'll set this up for you also for the sake of Ernest, because he does sing in a band. They perform quite a lot, and they do the Toto tribute band. But he didn't have any recording equipment for this, so he found the crappiest mic he could find and then recorded it, and he had also been sick. So that's okay, we can have excuses. No, but it's fine, I want to set that up for you. But it's important to talk about this, because it's going to help a lot of people. So here we go, Wheel of Champions, Ernest, call in if you're there. If not, we'll work with it anyway.
I bid my adieu. No crime, and believe me.
So let's talk about this now, because this is so important and this is so incredibly common then. Ernest has a powerful voice. He has a strong voice. He can sing for many hours. And so for you who sing rock or gospel, or you just want to sing with a big sound, part of it is, of course, developing strength. Now, if you don't have it, but if you have strength, in a song like this, we want to practice singing softer. Here's a song like this, We Are the Champions, has this powerful build to the chorus. Starts fairly low, and then it builds up, and it's very dramatic, and then it has this awesome chorus, and everybody wants to sing along with it. The beauty is that the songwriter... Yeah, the beauty is that the songwriter did it for you. These guys knew that. It's not surprising that a lot of their songs have this dramatic effect and have become hits. Has a big range in the song. But as singers, we want to trust the songwriter. What happens now for Ernest and for a lot of people is that there's so much, going to use my whole power and power through it, which becomes then... It's more work than is needed. Ernest, you don't need it. You have a strong voice. A lot of people don't need it. They have a strong voice. And even if you don't have a strong voice, you will build strength by not working so hard, by not going for so much volume. Let me see if I can demonstrate a little bit here, see if it comes across over this headset microphone, the phone line. Let me just hang on 1 second here. So it starts off right soft. I pay my dues, and then you might want to sing that a little breathy or whatever. But when you get into the chorus there, we are the champions. Let me adjust my mic. I'm turning my mic away here, so it's further away here. So hopefully it won't distort so much. But when you practice, you want to practice being softer, laid-back attitude. That's huh. And the root of the tongue is what we want to be able to relax more and more and more. As we know, muscles contract when they're being worked, right? And the tongue is a big part of that contraction. It goes back, it wants to swallow, and it gets in the way, and it pulls all the other muscles surrounding the larynx. And those are the things that we do even in lesson two. Well, we start off in lesson two getting familiar with these muscles. So when we do the NG, for example, right? So it's not... So Ernest and everybody else, I want you to be able to sing this song on NG. Slide around like that, and to be able to feel loose. If I feel, I can feel how much pressure there is, right? So you want to be, where's borderline cracking? If you don't have this range, you want to do the other things that we do in lesson three, the slide and stuff, to get the flexibility and get those other muscles, the compensatory muscles, out of the way. But if you have the range, which Ernest has, he can sing those high notes. You want to... And that's where this being vulnerable that we talked about in the very beginning comes in, right? So if I say, we are the champ, I'm using so much effort. I want to be borderline cracking. If I, we, trying to fill a heavy sound, a heavy tongue, I mean, right? Obviously, I'm not going for style. I can't go for interpretation. It's not about the performance. We are the champions, my friend. I'm just sliding around like that. Yeah, it feels good. I'm moving my head, right? Oh, yeah. And we'll keep on fighting to the end. Feeling this heavy tongue, yeah. So if you feel, and E's are often the toughest vowel for a lot of people. So if you feel that for, and we'll keep, oh, suddenly everything contracted, right? I pushed harder. Or, and we'll keep, see, now I'm holding on, keep. So what happened to Ernest a little bit is that it becomes a little bit yawning thing to compensate. It pushes, it's like muscles are trying to push down the larynx while other muscles are pulling it up. It becomes this contracted stuff. So, we are the champions, my friend. We'll keep on fighting to the end. If you do that high, fly. You want to fly on it. You want to be able to sail on it, right? What is that? So that's high C, but and that's not falsetto, by the way, right? So if I do fly, that's falsetto. Fly. It's not falsetto, but believe it or not, it's not that loud. Yes, it cuts through. It cuts through the band, and it cuts through, so it distorts. So decibel, yeah, it's loud, but I'm not trying to be loud. I mean, if I'm trying to be loud, that now I'm going to try to be loud, loud, right? We'll keep on fighting. All right, so that's borderline screaming, right? And that's not what you were doing, Ernest, not at all. But there's too much going for trying to be powerful rather than being cool, laid back. Yeah, letting it flow. Then you will become more powerful. And this is such a well-known anthem that everybody is going to sing along, right? And yes, it has the lyrics. I paid my dues, and time after time, I've done my sentence. I've committed no crime. And bad mistakes. I made a few. I've made my share of sand. I've had my share of sand kicked in my face, but I've come through. We are the champions, my friend. Yeah. And we'll keep on fighting. So it's not really anger, right? It's feeling victorious. It's feeling good. Hope that made sense. So again, like for example, there was we is an F, right? That keep is a G. That's often the hardest notes for a lot of guys, that area. There's no way I could sing those when I started out. The only way I could sing an F and a G was by either shouting or flipping to falsetto. There was nothing in between. So if you can't do it, it is a matter of training. And if you sing that, and that happens, you know what? That is probably better than than that. The side the effect, if you will, by working too hard is that the body is too much bracing in the body. And Ernest, you listen back to that, you are actually not off key on the power notes, high notes. You're actually off key in the beginning of the sentences, and that tells. So when you come in, because there's pressure, there's too much work there. And that is actually why you go a little bit off key there. And it could also be a little bit because of the listening stuff. And I don't know how you were hearing this, because now you were singing to a karaoke track, right? Which, by the way, when we do that and we can't hear well, what do? Well, we don't sing freely, right? There's a holding pattern in our body because I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to come in right. I'm doing all that stuff. All right, so when you practice light, laid back, for all you rock singers who want to sing that high stuff, even if you're going to sing it edgy, laid back. So, Dino, we're going to go to you now, and so call in. As a matter of fact, while you call in, Dino, I'll just play that beginning part of We Are the Champions so you guys hear it again. So I'm making an example out of this, Ernest, because you are a good singer, and you can sing way better than this. Part of it is because of the circumstances. I know if the voice is weak, what do? We compensate, of course, right? If we can't hear well, if we have bad equipment, what do? We push harder, we compensate, right? So Ernest is a good singer. But let's just listen a little bit more how it's so much, how much work there is. And Dino, you call in.
Hit my shelf and kick in my face.
Good stuff, Ernest. It really is. But you can hear there's a little bit of a yawning thing there. Right? We are the champions. Instead of relaxing the time, we are the champions. All right, Dino, are you there? Yes, you are. Hey, Dino, is that you?
No. Hi, Per.
Who is this?
Hi, Per. This is Ernest.
There you are. Cool. Fabulous. Have you been listening?
I am here all the time, but I have technical difficulties, of course, since I'm IT guy, so you know the Murphy Law.
That's how it is. And Ernest, I also want to compliment you on being from a country, and English is not your first language. As a matter of fact,
yes.
It's not even your second, is it?
Yes.
The way you sing it, you got very good English.
Yes, I'm trying, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't hear all that that you were speaking about me, because I was trying all the time to enter the conference, and I was actually all the time in conference, but probably you didn't see me right away at the moment.
Right, didn't see you. But here's the thing, Ernest. I'm going to give this. We're going to have a replay of this because I'm recording
this.
Yes, yes. So then you'll be able to listen to you and listen how tough I was on you. No.
Yes, I've heard. I think that I've heard the most things, and this is what I expected, you know, because I know I pushed too much energy in it, but it is often question of technical stuff, because singers are never too enough loud, you know, and people with other people in rock bands with guitars, and even myself with guitars with distortion and everything, it doesn't cut through, and you have to be, if I sing like you are explaining, then all guys, you know, those guys by the mixing fault, you know, by PA, they will always say that you think too weak, you know.
That's right, and
so,
that's a good point that you brought up. That's important, and that's why our own practice time is separate from rehearsal with a band. It's so incredibly important that we get practice time ourselves, so we can develop these muscles. Because when you're in rehearsal, you're going to have this pressure to overpower. I mean, mental pressure, right? To try and overpower.
Yes.
There's so much, and that's a real tough time we have in a rehearsal situation, because we probably have a bad PA. We have the drums right behind us. The guys can't hear us. And what are we going to do, right? And yeah, that's a problem. And that's exactly why we get into the bad habits. And when you have a good PA, which you have when you perform, you make sure you have a guy out there, a person out there, a girl out there who can adjust the volumes. Because, and here in LA, there's so many small places where people perform. Not great PA system, right? And what happens is that they do a sound check, and the singer from rehearsal, this built-in pattern of trying to overpower, singing very loudly. What does the guy on the mixer board do? Well, it just turns you down.
Yeah.
That's all that happens.
Of course.
You, Yeah, you got nothing out of it. When you can get familiar with the idea, and I've had a lot of people that that we've been doing this with, that you sing, you get familiar what it feels like, because as we talked about before, this feeling of creating volume is not necessarily what creates power, right? It doesn't cut through.
Yes.
It actually compresses the sound. So what happens, when you get a feeling when the sound cuts through more, it becomes more powerful. But even if it's not volume in decibel, right? So we don't want to confuse that. The power and volume is not the same thing. But then the guy on the mixer board will turn you up to a decent level. Now the voice comes through powerful. Everybody in the audience thinks you sound incredible. You sing so loudly because you have the energy behind it now, right? The same thing when you record in the studio. Nobody can tell how many decibels as far as loudness goes. We can tell the intensity of it. I can tell because I hear the work behind it, how much you're trying to be loud. But it's not loud in this recording. You're way behind the mix, right? So it's not a decibel issue. It's an energy issue. So that's why you really want to take your time to practice yourself. You release that tongue, less force, less working, move around, feeling loosey-goosey. And then in rehearsal, you say, hey, I'm going to sing the way it sounds best. The volume is not going to be there because our PA system can't handle it. But in performance, I guarantee you guys, it's going to sound awesome. They can still hear you enough so that they know what's going on.
Yeah.
So
Try
it out. It's going to be hugely beneficial for you.
Yeah, let's not take all the time.
Okay. So thanks a lot, Ernest. Thanks for being on. Okay, terrific.
Yeah,
thanks. I'm sorry I cut you off there. I'm so rude. Okay, so Dino, if you're there, then if you have if you're on the phone here, then press *2. If you're on, it's a real problem for people who rehearse with bands, because the voice. I mean, try to go into a rock band rehearsal with an acoustic guitar. But, you know, there's a reason acoustic guitars aren't part of the symphony orchestra. It can't project. So you have to have amplification, and that's the thing with our voice. To be able to sing dynamically, we need amplification, and it's a problem in rehearsal, and a lot of voices have been ruined in rehearsals. So here we go. So Dino, where are you, Dino? All right. So I'm going to play your song, whether you want it or not. Dino, I actually got an email that you were going to be on, so call that phone number, and here's the song.
I've seen the seven wonders of the world. I've seen the beauty of diamonds and pearls. But they ain't nothing, baby. Your love amazes me. Oh, yeah. Don't you ever doubt this love of mine. You're the only one for me. You give me hope, you give me reason, you give me something to believe in. Forever faithfully, yeah. I've seen a sunset that'll make you cry, and colors of a rainbow reach across the sky. The moon in all its phases, your love amazes me. Oh, yeah. I prayed for miracles that never came. I got down on my knees out in the pouring rain. But only you could save me. Your love amazes me. I've been praying for so long. your love amazes me. I prayed for miracles and never came. I got down on my knees out in the pouring rain, but only you could save me. Your love amazes me. Your love amazes me. Your love amazes me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dino.
Am I saying your name right?
I saw you on here. Press star 2 again, Dino. And you are here. I think your phone is in your wife's name. There we go.
Hello?
Hey, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep, I hear you. Fabulous.
Oh, good.
How are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm very good. Very good.
Good.
How did
I'm
you
learning
record?
A lot, by the way.
You are?
I'm learning a lot, by the way, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
terrific.
This is great.
Terrific. You and I had a short conversation over the phone a while ago, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Is this something you want to talk about? You want to share a little
well,
bit?
Well, yeah, actually, I'm so excited to be able to talk and sing. And for the last 2 years, I've had acid reflux so badly that it took away the enamel on my teeth and burned my vocal cords so that I actually couldn't speak many weeks out of the month, so let alone sing. So after talking with you and getting some advice from you, it's literally actually changed my life. So I'm eating things differently and doing things differently. And, well, like I said, it's kind of miraculous that I'm able to sing at all. So I'm very excited.
Fabulous. I'm so happy. Yeah. Acid reflux is a very problematic thing. For singers, for everybody, especially for singers, and we won't go into it here because it is a long and it is a big subject, and I would love to do maybe we'll do a special thing about that. But what's even more problematic is how we tend to deal with it, and I'm not in favor of the drugs because it tends to make it worse, frankly. It is a muscle issue. The issue is why the esophageal sphincter muscle does not close. So, and it's the same, or not same, but similar problem. What do we do if the vocal cords don't close, right? So there's a lot of things involved. But so let's talk about your song now. How did you record this, by the way?
I have a Roland 1680 that just records. You know, it's just me and the guitar.
So you have two separate mics?
No. The guitar went straight in and then a mic.
Okay, gotcha. So the guitar is line in and the mic. It's good for people to know because you're able to create quite a nice sound there.
Okay.
So it might be a good tip for other people if they want to just play one instrument or even sing a cappella. What kind of mic do you have?
I use the Rhodes NT1.
Oh, okay. I have that one too, actually.
Oh, great.
Good one. So, I'll tell you a little bit what I'm hearing, and it relates to what we were talking about. You have a really cool vibe. Fits the song. It frankly sounds pretty darn cool.
Oh, cool.
well, I mean, we can. Yeah, I'm not here to you know judge and say good or bad, but it fits for the song, right? You have that cry. You have the emotion of the song. What I would encourage you is to free up the pressure in that solar plexus area because that is also a problem with acid reflux, whichever comes first. If we have discomfort in that area, it creates a lot of tension, as you know, as you have experienced. But the other thing is also when we sing and we have pressure in that area, that doesn't help it either. And perhaps the reason, it's possible, the reason singers have problems with it
is that we use a lot of pressure in that area, and that creates, pressure, and it doesn't necessarily help the sphincter muscle. Hmm. For those who don't know, I had severe problems with acid reflux myself, and I've overcome it. So that's part of the story that I might share one of these days. But the stomach pressure that happens, and we feel this discomfort, and then we might have gastritis, we might have irritation there, and we may have pressure there that we're not even aware of. So some of the things, for example, that I do in lesson four, well, everything sort of builds up to it with the movement and all these kind of stuff. To getting, we want to get away to this idea of standing straight, posture, all that kind of stuff. The reason I do that, why I don't talk about good posture, is not because I don't believe in good posture. Good posture is extremely helpful. The problem is that what muscles do we use to assume a position of good posture? So oftentimes a lot of people have been told to stand straight, one foot forward, shoulders back, all that kind of stuff, which is supposedly correct. Yes, but then they use a lot of muscle effort. It becomes rigidity rather than freedom. So with all the movement stuff, for you who just started out, is extremely freeing to free up the neck, the throat, but also in the lower area so that the diaphragm can do its job. So what I tend to hear with you a little bit, Dina, which I think is going to be, you're going to see a big difference here in the future, because I know you're on the road to heal and get stronger and make your body more functional, is that when that stomach pressure releases even more, you're going to have even more freedom to have that cry and the passion and the, you know, from expression rather than pressure.
Okay.
It's similar but different from what Ernest was doing. Ernest was going for volume. You're not going for volume. You're going for that emotion of the song, right? So it becomes a little bit of that, you know, that little bit of this. I'm exaggerating like crazy now, right? So now I'm holding my stomach tight. Hey, and then I'm talking like this, yeah. Right, you don't do that, but there's a little bit of tendency. And it tends to happen also when we play instruments because we tend to get a little locked in. You're probably sitting down when you're playing it and singing this song. You did this at the same time, right? You were singing at the same time as you were playing?
Yeah, I sang and played it at the same time, and actually I was standing up. But
oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
But you use that movement. So I want to encourage you to strengthen those intercostal muscles so that the ribs open up, so then you don't have to work so hard for the ribs to open up. And that goes with everything, ladies and gentlemen. When muscles are strong, we don't have to work so hard, right? So that's why we want strength. Like we were talking about in the first song with Ruth there, that she wants to have the strength to connect the cords, but then she can seem breathy if she wants to. As a matter of fact, she can be even breathier if she wants to. So anyway, can you sing just a cappella? Just sing that the first line or something, first couple of lines, and just sing it with a little more laid-back feel.
I've seen the seven wonders of the world.
Good, good, good. Cool. Awesome. Okay, so let's do that without that attack in the beginning. I feel, right, without that, just, you feel like, loosey-goosey, hey, I feel, it's more like, rather than, I feel, because now I'm already holding my stomach. I feel that, I feel the, whatever, yeah.
Okay. I've seen the seven wonders of the world.
Yeah. Am I distorting, by the way?
No.
Okay.
Not to me, you.
All right. Good. Yeah. Move around. And same thing with like what we were talking about, Ernest. Feel that heavy tongue. I feel the. What are the words? I feel the what?
I've seen the seven wonders of the world.
That's right. So then what you want to discover is that there's that recovery process between every phrase. Even if it's. It's not that you need a lot of air. It's not that. You know, and that's also what we talk about this. It's a recovery. For you who just started out, you know, in lesson two when we do the seven count ahs, it's a recovery in between. Whether it's seven counts or whatever. But, yeah, that was good. I feel the seven wonders. What are the words, do you know? I feel the seven wonders.
I've seen the seven wonders of the world.
I've seen the seven wonders of the world, of course. Mm-hmm. And then?
I've seen the beauty of diamonds and pearls.
Right, so you breathe after wonders, right? Yeah. I see the seven wonders. And then and there's a recovery there. So it's just relaxation rather than a big breath. Do it again.
I've seen the seven wonders of the world. I've seen the beauty of diamonds and pearls. Okay.
That's cool. How does that feel different from what you did when you recorded it?
Well, it's amazing that when you said that, I recognized there is a lot of tension in my stomach when I did that, or when I did it before. So that's very amazing that you pointed that out.
And that tension tends to happen in the upper region. And I am of the belief, because I realized that I used to do it myself. I had more pressure there than I have these days. And when we're in pain, we sort of have to learn better ways. Pain is awesome, everybody. And I wrote about that. You know, I had a back problem when I was in my very early teens. And after the fact, it's been a fabulous experience. It wasn't fun then, but it's a fabulous experience. So now that you have had these issues, you remember but the whole body is sort of bracing for that thing, right? For the pain, the compensation. And so you already have a bunch of exercises. You want to release the ribs. You want to release that area, the diaphragm. You want to release the lower back, the psoas muscles. There are a bunch of muscles, the hip flexors, all of these things that send, you know, the T5 there sends nerve energy to the solar plexus area. You want to be able to move that, even if by yourself through stretching or you get some treatment for it. It's so incredibly helpful. You get less pressure there, and you'll get more power, more expression. Hey, that was cool. It was a different take on it, right? But it was laid back. It was cool. And it's a great way to practice. And getting used to that recovery between every phrase, because you can notice that you have more pressure in your body at the end of the song, and even more at the end of a gig, of course. So it's very important that we get recovery between sets, recovery between songs, recovery between phrases.
Very good.
Cool. Play around with
Thanks.
That. And what
Thanks, Per.
Terrific. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I mean, ideally, what I would like to do is to find a way to be able to do this on a regular basis, because what I really would like to do is to give you stuff and then, hey, let's see what happens 2 weeks later. And how to accomplish that, I don't know, because, like I said, I had so many submissions, and you see, time is flying. I would love to be able to work with everybody like this. But I hope this is helpful for people, for you, even if I'm not talking about your song specifically. So let's move on, and let me see here. We might, Steve. I was thinking of playing your song, but it's kind of similar for you. I think you already know what we're talking about. Steve also sings rock, and so it applies to everybody who's sort of in that style. Let's go to something completely different, shall we? Margaret, My Own Country. How about we do that? So this is very different. So Margaret, I think you're in the UK too, aren't you? So if you want to call in, but otherwise, I'll just play it here. Here we go.
That I cannot understand.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you still there? Okay, this is absolutely nuts. I'm hanging my head in shame. I've been talking about this, and my mic has been muted. So, what we're going to do now, I'm going to go to the next song, and then I'm going to address this again. So, Bryant, with the song Liberty, can you call up? And do the same thing. You call up, you enter that code, and then you hit star 2. Okay, so what I'm talking about here with Margaret is the importance of developing the vocal cord connection. What happens now is, and this applies for a lot of females who are trained to sing in head voice. And there's nothing wrong. There's no right or wrong here, right? Head voice, chest voice, and so forth. Nothing wrong about that. Nothing right or wrong about that. It's different style, different style. But what we want to do is to be able to access those muscles is to give ourselves permission to go away from style or trying to sound correct, proper, according to what we think it should be like. And the tendency is that when we practice scales and we practice in a classical environment, we're going for a classical sound, is that when we practice, we're also trying to create the sound of the result, right? Which is a huge trap because what actually happens is that we're then actually trying to develop resonance. And we're not developing the action of the vocal cords. So what happens now a little bit for Margaret is that her vocal cords are leaking. And give me just one sec. Okay. The vocal cords are leaking, and therefore it becomes difficult to sustain long sentences. And it also becomes more difficult to be on pitch. So therefore, of course, if it's a difficult interval at the end of a phrase, well, that's, of course, the most difficult, and that happens in the song there at the especially towards the end. So if I exaggerate and if I say if I do like that, then that is a little bit breathy, right? If I do I'm singing like this, I'm good, then you can obviously hear then how exhausting it sounds, and I'm going to have a hard time singing on pitch. If on the other hand I say, now, actually, the vocal cords are more connected. That is still falsetto, by the way, right? So, that's not what we did when I did We Are the Champions. But, that is then different. And that's where this becomes so confusing, because for guys, we would call the stuff that I did there with We Are the Champions, we would call that more head voice. But that's what we call the other stuff for females. And when I do, we call that falsetto for guys. So that's also why I'm not a big fan of the terminology in the first place. The greatest thing is when singers just sing and then, you know, something amazing comes out, and then I ask them, hey, was that head voice, chest voice? And then they say, I don't know, I just sang. That's actually kind of a nice feeling. So, listen to this. If I do then, my old country, then it's going to start sounding struggling. But if I connect more, my own country,
country. I am singing like this.
Then it's, sorry, I went into style-wise different thing there. But then I'm also free to add vibrato if I will, if I want, right? But then it can keep going. So therefore, for you, Margaret, for everybody who's used to singing head voice, I really encourage you, or to, if you sing classical, or even if you sing other styles, frankly, in head voice, first of all, I encourage you to get familiar with your other voice, the chest voice, because it's easier for you in that range to feel the difference between breathy and connected. But even in that range, and let's call it head voice for now, the difference between breathy and connected. You want to feel the difference, but you can't do it if you're engaged in trying to sound a certain style. I want you to relax the tongue, relax everything, relax the jaw, just let it fall and see what comes out. And then you can affect the resonance, absolutely. Okay, so strength here is incredibly important. So for you, Margaret, what I want you to do is, you probably can't do this in rehearsal with your pianist, because you're not going to be able to give yourself that kind of freedom. But when you're by yourself, I want you to flow. Be a little bolder with it. Stick your tongue out. Be a little wild and crazy. Right? Move around. Don't try to sound pretty. But you will feel a different kind of flow. When you're singing in with this pianist, you're probably standing straight, standing proper. You're doing what you've been told is correct, right? So go out of that, move around. Like I said, stick your tongue out and practice getting the chords connected. Go back and forth between breathy and connected so you feel the difference. And so if I do, ah, or ah, what's the difference, right? Now I added different resonance, more of a, that classical ring, right? If I did, ah, that's different. That's a different ring to it. But that's resonance. Okay? Because then you can have more legato. My own country, I'm feeling good. And the country is absolutely beautiful. It feels good. So then when you're singing that song, you are engaged with the audience. You're singing, I think the lyrics are about the positive of my own country. I haven't studied the lyrics, but that's the feeling I get. And then you can then... you know, when you're singing that song, it's no longer about the notes. It's no longer about hitting the right notes or trying to sustain the sentence. No, it's about, wow, this is such a beautiful thing I'm singing about, and everybody in the audience agrees with you, and we're all one big party here. And it becomes more fun to sing that way rather than trying to do right. Okay, I hope that made sense. I want to move on here to Bryant. Hey, Bryant, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Fabulous. Bryant, tell me about your song.
Yes, that song actually was one that my wife wrote, and we're actually in the process of finishing up our first CD and just actually going to be starting a boys' home ministry and traveling around to some churches and singing, and that CD was one of the things that we were hoping to have to use as something that might produce a little bit of funds for the boys' home ministry and the ministry that we're going to be doing. So that's what that is, and it's one song among several others that we've got there that we're putting on the CD. But it's our very first CD, so we're very excited about it, but definitely a first time. So
cool. You wrote a little bit about your recording experience. You want to share?
On the recording, it seems like in the studio singing, have a real hard time with the pitch. Seems to be flat a lot of times, and of course with the recording you can go back and punch in and punch out and do that, but it, you know, they told me try some different things, one headphone on one ear, one off, of course, and just try different things, but it would seem like I would go flat. But something you said a minute ago actually made a whole lot of sense. You said that one of the guys that was singing, who was hitting a lot of his notes on pitch when he was hitting the high notes, but on his lower when he was coming in, because he had a lot of tension building it coming into that, he was hitting it a little bit more pitchy. So I think that could be a possibility of why I was doing that, because a lot of the flat notes are ones that are actually in easy range for me, not the higher ones that I'm belting out.
Right. glad you recognize that, because for everybody who records in the studio, the main difference between recording in the studio and singing live is, of course, you don't have the audience.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do in studio? Well, we start listening, don't we? And it's such a huge trap. You know, you have the music in your headphones, but then you hear yourself in the headphones, and it becomes such an auditory process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you, you have music training. You know, hearing pitch and stuff like that is a non-issue. When you hear it back, you hear immediately if it's
right.
A little bit off.
Right.
You may not in the moment, right? So the trap is that, oh, okay, so maybe to fix that, I need to listen more and be more aware so I can fix it in the moment. No, that doesn't work. Because you're too late. It already has been. You're always behind the judge within you is behind a little
yeah.
bit, right?
Right.
So it doesn't work that way. You can't use that. The same skill, the auditory skill that you use when you listen back to it, you can't use that in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
You have to shift the mental process to one of a performance, which is exactly what you do when you're live.
Okay.
And that is while you're focused outside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So then the tracks that you have in the headphones is there for your guidance, but you don't have to listen to it. And that's why it's so important also with a balance in the headphones. Because if you have a lot of strings, for example, well, you're not going to sing in pitch if you have a lot of strings. Because strings are sort of wavering as the nature of the instruments.
Hmm.
So if everybody who's singing to a string background or a synthesized string background, even worse, right, then you got that wavering thing, and it's like, yeah, forget about it. Or if you just have a bass, which is lower, the octave is lower, then it's very tough.
I see. That makes
so sense. You want to have a piano or a guitar that's more in your range, where it's just easily, it's sort of your natural part of it, and you don't have to listen actively for it. You hear it, but you don't listen for it. But the most important thing is that you have that flow then. You're just letting it out. Ah, yeah, okay, feels good. And that, of course, is, again, you know, practice before you go into the studio.
Right.
And because now what happens then is you're probably hesitating. There's just a little bit of hesitation. There's a little
yeah.
bit of hold in the breathing before you start a sentence. You're trying to nail it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it becomes a little bit held back or overpowering. You know, just all those compensatory things. You know, some people tend to hold back in a cautious, careful way. Some people tend to power through it. Sort of the, you know, different sides of the same
right.
same issue. Both create pressure. And pressure is, as we know, two opposing forces, right? If you push
right.
your hand against a wall, that's pressure. But if the wall disappears, your hand will go straight through. There's no pressure, right? So there's something pushing against it that creates pressure. If you hold your breath, that's pressure
okay.
because you're not letting it out. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of people have become conditioned to do because they've heard this idea of breath control, support, and it becomes a holding pattern rather than a releasing pattern. So having said that, let's just listen to Bryant and just enjoy, shall we? What do you think, Bryant?
All right, sounds good.
Yeah, but does that make sense?
Yes. Oh, it makes complete sense.
Yeah. Now, you fixed it in this recording, so we don't hear what you're talking about.
Right.
You know, and people wonder, what is he talking about? He has no pitch issues. But you're also, So that's good. We're talking about this before the recording.
Right.
And but does it make sense? Do you think that'll help?
Yeah, that makes complete sense, actually, what you're saying, because I actually, at the very end of one of the last recordings, I had them turn the music completely down to where I could barely just hear it in my ear, and then I could hear myself out in front of me almost like I was singing, not reverb and not my voice over the microphone, but actually hearing myself sing out in front of me like I was singing live, and it seemed to make a big difference.
Yeah, and that takes a little experimenting. The level, the mix again, you know, you might want to turn down the strings a little bit. How much reverb do you want? Because you want to have an experience of, yeah, it feels good. It's, you know, it has a good sound to it, absolutely. Yeah, so there's a little bit of experimenting there. And sometimes when people go into a studio and they pay a lot of money for it, they feel they don't have the time to experiment. But you probably save that time if you take a little bit and play around with it before you try to nail the performance.
Yeah, good.
So anyway, so enjoy, ladies and gentlemen. Here's Bryant with Liberty.
Of liberty and how we are so blessed to be living in America with all our peace and rest. But that does not compare to the liberty of life when we're saved eternally. And even when we die, we have liberty and freedom. We're saved from death and hell. We were bound by chains of sin until the Father sent His Son, and the victory. Because of this, we have liberty.
Now, if you're here today without the liberty God gives, just trust in Him and you'll find a better way to live. The freedom you will feel from all your sin and guilt, then you can say, I have liberty.
We have liberty.
Wonderful. So that's a good take for all you when you're going to record, when you are about to record something. And
It's also great to get familiar with that before you pay a lot of money going into the studio, you know, and just the psychological thing of having a, oh, I am now being recorded. Do it at home first, press the record button, don't necessarily listen back to it, but get used to that thing. Now, time is flying, so 90 minutes, forget about it, we're going to keep going. I want to cover a couple of I've gotten a bunch of submissions for people who have like really cool, polished tracks. And if you don't mind, while that would be really fun to listen to it, I think I won't play that now because that goes into more of a discussion of not how to change what you've already done, right, but how to move forward with the issues you have. So what I want to address here is a couple of tendencies that some beginners have, and in this case, beginner males. We've covered a little bit of tendency for beginner females when it tends to go perhaps a little bit on the breathy side. Now, I don't want to put you in the categories of beginners or whatever either. Prashant, I'm going to play your song, House of the Rising Sun. And Dwayne, I'm going to play a little bit of your Beside Me, and we'll talk about that because it's actually quite easy for you guys to make this a whole lot better, and I'll tell you how. Let's listen first to Prashant here. And he has a background track here, but we can't really hear it, but we know that he has it, and he's singing along with it. So listen here.
There is a house in New Orleans. They call the rising sun. And it's been the ruin of many a poor boy. And God, I know I'm one.
So we'll listen to one more verse here.
My mother was a tailor. She sewed my new blue jeans. My father was a gambling man down in New Orleans.
Cool. All right. So Prashant, I'll talk about this so you don't have to get on the phone because I frankly don't think you're there. If you are, then we will give you an extra applaud because I know you're in India. So isn't that in the middle of the night now? And that's also, you know, it's a second language for you. So that's totally understandable. So here's the thing. It's super easy for you to make this a whole lot better, although I understand it's going to be tough in this song because you're singing to a karaoke track, but I know you also play the guitar. So here's the thing. You're singing it in a too low key. The reason, what were the names? The Animals, right? Sang it in this key is because they sing it an octave higher. So he starts low, in the original, he starts low. There is a house in New Orleans. Then he goes out. They call the rising sun. And it's way high there, right? And by the way, did you hear how hard I pushed there? I shouldn't have done that, right? They you should get used to that first before you do it. So this is a tough song for you. So if you're going to sing this song, change the key. And if I sing a song down in that range, it's going to start sounding murky, right? There is a house. And when I started out, I didn't have these low stuff either. In New Orleans, then it goes up, they call the rising sun. But the tendency is that when it becomes low, then it also becomes squeezed in the throat, and it doesn't come out.
and then it also becomes a little bit pitchy, and then it doesn't sound as confident as it could be, right? So same thing for you, as we talked about with a lot of people. You know, you want to engage the movement. Everybody who hasn't sung much is obviously not going to feel comfortable of letting it out and taking chances, because we think that that doesn't sound good. But that's exactly why you want to do it, and you want to do it by yourself. So relaxing the tongue, doing the NGs, that, so if you feel the tongue is super relaxed, the text might become slurry. So what? We're not working on the expression right there. And then you slide. You can just do it on a vowel, by the way. See, I'm super sliding because I want to have the flow to the end. I don't want to do and then it becomes... It sounds more hesitant than it needs to be. So if you do that, sing it on a vowel, preferably take it up a bit, do it here, I'm allowing myself to be slurry with a melody on purpose to get the flow, right? And to move around. And then, like we talked about before, singing the notes actually becomes extremely easy. But if I'm trying to sing notes and I sing word by word, there is a house in New Orleans, they call the rising sun, and it's been the ruin. Now I suddenly made myself sound like I'm not so confident, and I haven't been singing for so long. So I guarantee you, sing or maybe sing another song. And this would also be one of those situations. It would be cool to hear you just 2 weeks from now. Do that. Let it out. Slide more through it. And it's going to sound like a complete different singer. It's not far away from sounding dramatically better. Dwayne, you have the same tendency. Get online quickly and we'll chat. And while you do that, I'll play your song beside me. You're also playing the guitar. So let's listen to that. And I feel so good when you're beside me. I don't know what the words are, and that's part of the mix here, because you're sort of behind the guitar here. You're hiding a little bit. So, same thing for you now. Now, you wrote this song, and you just started playing the guitar, which I think is awesome. And I want to congratulate you for doing that, for getting into this, because I know how much fun you're having. So this is wonderful, you know. You want to keep doing it. Now, you're going to start playing around with your range more, and you're going to get out of that cautiousness, and you're going to be a little wilder and bolder when you're by yourself. Now, when you record something, then it's understandable. We want to be a little cautious, right? We tend to become cautious, at least if we're going to present it, and then we tend to mix it low so our voice is hidden behind it so people won't hear our mistakes. As a matter of fact, for a lot of you who sent in audios, I can sort of tell that you want to put the voice sort of a little in the background there. Don't do that. Don't put too much reverb on it. Let it be out there. If you haven't been doing this for a while, if you haven't been singing, then you shouldn't be recording all that much. You should be practicing, discovering, experimenting, playing around with your voice. So for Dwayne, for everybody in his situation, you're sort of starting out a little bit, then let it out bigger, bolder, more range. Let it crack. We don't want to be afraid of those cracks, right? When we're afraid of them, then we hold back. When we're afraid of not sounding good, we hold back, and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because that's when we give away that we're not singers. What is also going to happen for you, Dwayne, is when you develop your range, or rather, when you probably have decent range, when you feel more comfortable using the range you have. And I think you're on here. Let's see if this is you. Hey, Dwayne, is that you? Can you hear me?
Oh, hello. Yep.
Is that Dwayne?
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. Fabulous. Have you heard what I've been talking about?
Yeah, I've kind of got the phone going in this, so they're on different timings here. So yeah.
Exactly, yes. That's a weird thing. This, when it comes on the webcast, it's like 20 seconds delayed or something.
Yeah.
So what I was saying is, when you become even more comfortable or more daring, let it out a little bit bigger, bolder, and also use the range you have, because you have a lot more range than you're using in that song.
Okay. I've played around. Like, I've got about 80 videos on YouTube right now, so I've been really like singing a lot of different kind of things to see what I can do and can't do.
Yeah.
I've ventured out with like Moody Blues and stuff like that. So I've actually went up there in the vocal range quite a bit more than I thought I ever could. Kind of
good. Started. Excellent. I have a great example. I was coaching a guy, maybe you're on the line, David, and we were doing, he was a guitar player, and he sang Sweet Home Alabama.
Right.
But in the comfort zone, in the comfort range, is where we tend to speak, right?
Yeah.
At least for us guys, because we haven't been used to then using the head voice like females have been used to doing more.
Right.
So what tends to happen is that we sing in that what we think is our comfort range, which is our speaking range.
True, yeah.
So that's, and that, what he did then, he sang it, Sweet Home Alabama, in his comfort range, which happens to be an octave lower than they do it in the original.
Right.
So when I pointed that out, he sort of knew it, because he obviously knows music.
Right.
But his thought was that there's no way he can sing it in the original key.
Right.
Well, we played around with it a little bit, and it turned out he could. He just never tried it, right? Because it seemed, just the idea of it seemed so high, so there's a lot of holding back, and therefore it feels uncomfortable, and it feels like we can't sing high. But then when we did some stuff, he realized he could sing it, and of course it felt much better. So when you're going to play in the range, you wrote this song, right?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
And I was congratulating you for doing that. But then your songs will become more exciting also when you use your range more in songs. And that's for everybody who haven't developed the range. They write the way they can sing. So then the songs
I have another song that I did too, which is actually sung quite a bit higher.
Good.
That one,
cool. So that's what you want to do.
Yeah,
and then
I was being reserved on this song because it was sort of the feel of the song too. I wasn't scared of. I was trying to be relaxed with my voice in this song. Was what I was trying to do was to emulate what you were teaching, to really just be relaxed. Because I have a hard time with that. I always try to push I feel it. I'm always trying to push my voice. And I've done that for years. I mean, I've been playing guitar for all my life, pretty much. So.
Okay. Oh, I see. Okay, gotcha. I've always been doing that too. Okay.
No, I've always hid behind my guitar. So yeah. Because I've never thought of myself as a vocalist. So.
Right.
Yeah. As far as singing goes, it's like, yeah, I'm a terrible singer, so I'll just do whatever I can get away with. Yeah, but I just started singing, and I love it when I sing a song. You know. When I sing along with the guitar. So, so I've just been trying to get my voice into shape, basically. Yeah. See if
yeah.
and just deal with it, with what it is, you know? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And I've actually got quite a few compliments on my singing, which really shocked me.
Well, I'll get used to it then.
Yeah.
But this is great, right? So you're getting there. The tendency for everybody who plays guitar or piano is that when they sing, it tends to become more humming.
Yeah.
We sit there and play, and then so you're falling a little bit into the trap. You're thinking you're relaxed, which is good. I mean, relaxed and laid back. You know, I've been talking to these rockers to be more laid back. For you, you want to go a little bit in the other direction, because the tendency is then that it sounds reserved rather than soothing.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So, the flow that we're talking about. So if I'm singing softly like this, I could sing breathy maybe if I feel like it. But it's still sort of an out there kind of thing. So I don't sit and hum. If I sit and play my piano here and then I sing, oh, I'm singing this song, and I'm not quite sure what I'm. That's a total different approach, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now it sounds like I'm sort of locked into myself, and I'm very internal, and I'm not daring to let it out. So go a little bit out there, let it out, breathe more, let it flow more. And even if it is a song, like you said, I don't know what word did you use, sort of the mood of the song. Don't get caught up in the mood, because you're still singing it to someone. It's not... Right, it's not to yourself, it's to someone, but you want to soothe that one, make that person feel good and be intimate.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good. All right, fabulous. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's good to talk to you. Yeah.
There you go. Are you having fun so far?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I am. Yeah. And I have to keep going back to the lessons, because I get caught up in all the recording I'm doing, and I'm a busy guy. So, but I keep going back and trying to just focus on even like the first video, the second video, just the basic stuff right now. I keep working with that. And as you can hear, I have a hard time with my voice. I think I have acid reflux too. So I was really interested when you said you might put on a program about that. So
we should do
forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I do have that problem.
A lot of people have. Mm-hmm. So, okay. What was I going to say? I can't remember.
It's okay. Yeah.
No, we keep it. Yeah, no, but what I was going to say is that I don't know why you're recording, but it's a good idea not to be so caught up in recording all the time, but that you really can experiment. And if you're putting stuff up on YouTube, you may not give yourself permission to experiment as much as you think you are. So
that's true. Yeah. So I'm going to be more cautious, obviously. So
Because if we're recording stuff for the purpose of other listening to it, we're going to do it. We're going to sing in a different way than we would if we really have the freedom to explore. And if you really explore, you'll develop faster. You will. Otherwise, you get caught up in patterns.
Okay.
So, terrific. Good stuff. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, Per. Yeah. Have a good day.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, terrific. All right. So what do you think? Shall we keep going? Anyone wants to hear something else? Let's do one more, shall we? It's after 12 o'clock now, but Terry, Afterglow of Christmas. It's not Christmas yet, but our goal is by the end of the year, you are all gonna sing and enjoy music, record better, feel better about it at that time. So,
here we go, Terry. I'm going to play this song. If you want to get online, feel free to do so. Otherwise, I'll play it anyway. Okay, here we go.
A scrap of shiny paper on the floor. Tiny chocolate handprints on the door. There's some glitter sparkling on the rug. Leftover eggnog in a Santa mug. Her work is done and all of the sleep. Today's memories in her heart she'll keep. Gift unwrap each belly satin, and she wonders at the magic she's created. The afterglow of Christmas Day, and she knows the feeling won't always stay, but she'll cherish what she has to.
Terry wrote this song, so I thought that's a good good grand finale of this webinar. Like I said, there have been so many songs then, so I apologize. There's no way we could play all these songs. Some of them are some amazing productions, and I would really like, as a matter of fact, I should set up somehow so you can actually showcase it if you do want to showcase your music.
But of course, often we don't want to showcase until it's actually completely finished, ready to be released, so to speak. But hopefully we've been able to cover a couple of different aspects. And the theme of today has been to do what you're not totally used to doing. So if you're used to being loud, feel what it's like to be more laid back. If you tend to sing softly, feel what it's like to be a little bit bolder about it. And of course, we're developing the awareness of the muscles and the so that we can do something about it. Starts with awareness, right? So we can release the thumb, we can get the chords going, get the chords connected, but without the external pressure, without so much work, whether it's low, whether it's high. Hope you have found it somewhat helpful, and I would love to do this again. Maybe we will, actually. You know what, since there were so many that didn't get on, let's try and do another one here in maybe a month. Let's do that. And anyway, I want to thank you all for sticking with it. I see a lot of you are still on the webcast. I'll put it up as a replay, and I'll probably put up some kind of form where you can maybe give some feedback, how you think we should do this, if this is interesting to you or if it's not, where you can be anonymous. And have a terrific rest of the weekend. Practice, discover, explore, have fun. And I'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye-bye.